Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the last line of the Gemara Toshma, Machikin Sagefes Vazazevel. To quickly review, we learned in our Mishnah that different things have to be distanced from each other because they could do damage one to the other. We learned about Boiris, specifically pits, being distanced. Each one who digs a pit is supposed to distance his pit 3 tefachim from the other pit. We then had a machloikis of Abaya Virova regarding a situation where I'm digging a pit in my property, and my neighbor does not yet have a pit in his property. And the question was, do I have to distance at that point? Abaye said, I do not. Rava said, I do. And as we learned in the previous year, there are actually two versions of the machloikis between Abaye and Rava. The first version of the machloikis says that if it's likely that that my neighbor will be making pits, soda has suya labiris, everybody agrees that I have to distance when I dig the pit. Machloikis was regarding a field where pits will normally not be made. Abaye says then distancing is not required, and Rava says distancing is required. The second version said differently, that if my neighbor's field is a field which is not likely, it's not a field made for pits, then everybody agrees that distancing is not required. In a situation where it's a field where pits are normally made, Abaye says, since right now there is no pit there, so I do not have to distance. And Rava says, since it's a field where pits will likely be made, I do have to distance. And as the Gemara in the previous year brought different Mishnayos and Brises to ask questions on the opinion of Abaye Virava, our Gemara continues along the same line. Toshma, Machikines Agevas Vesazevel Veshev Melech. Our Mishnah taught us that we have to distance. Gefes is the leftovers after one presses olives. Zevel is manure. Melech, salt. Sid, lime. Vessel, slime are stones that give out heat. Mikoisle shel chaveri gibel tfachim. They have to be distanced 3 tfachim from somebody else's wall. Oisod besid. Or one doesn't want to distance, he could coat the wall with lime, and that will obviate the need for the distancing. But what is our Mishnah teaching us? Tamadik a kaisel. Specifically, because there is a wall standing, that's why distancing is required. Halak a kaisel. If there was no wall standing there yet, saimich, I could put these things there. So we see that as long as the wall isn't there yet, distancing is required. A question of Rava's opinion, who says that distancing is required even if the pit isn't there yet, even if the wall isn't there yet. So Tosfos asks, how could we compare this case to the previous cases that Abaye and Rava discussed? One question Tosfos asks is, as the Gemara said at the previous year in explaining Rava's opinion that should be able to be consistent with Rabbi Yossi's opinion, is that by a pit, there's a concept that as you dig the pit, it makes damage. Here, the zevel and the other items don't do damage as they're sitting there. They're only doing damage when there's a wall, and the wall isn't quite there yet. Not like digging a pit, where the actual act of digging is an act that causes damage. So Tosfos answers, that teretz that we said that by pit there's a specific situation because as you dig it causes damage was only said to understand Rabbi Yossi's opinion. But according to Rabbanan, we don't have to say that explanation. According to Rabbanan, there's always an issue of damages. And the Gemara here's question is according to Rabbanan. But then Tosfos asks another question. How can we compare a pit to Gefer Zevel v'Melech? A pit, once it's there, it's there. Gefer Zevel v'Melech could be removed. So I put down the Gefer Zevel v'Melech now. And if the wall will be erected, I shall remove them. So I saw a number of truths into that question. One teretz is that the Gefer Zevel v'Melech, as soon as they're put down, they immediately cause damage. And that damage remains there even after they're removed. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that Chazal were concerned that the person will not remove the Gefer Zevel Melech once he puts them down there. A third teretz that the Elias Rabbeinu Yoina says is that, let's say I'll have my Gefer Zevel Melech there for 3 years, so there'll be a situation where I have a chazaka to keep it there, and then if afterwards somebody's going to want to take them away, they won't be able to. Then afterwards, if somebody puts up the wall, I will already say that I have a chazaka to keep my Gefer Zevel Melech there. The Rosh disagrees with this type of the Elias Rabbeinu Yoina, because says this is not the way a chazaka could be created. He says a chazaka would be that if you have a wall and I put up Gefer Zevel Melech and it's there 3 years with nothing being said, so a chazaka is created. But if I have Gefer Zevel Melech where there is no wall, that's not a situation of a chazaka. There's no wall. That's why there is no chazaka. Answer to Marloy. Rava will explain that the Mishnah will hold that Kileka Kaisel Namiloy Samach. Even if there is no wall, we cannot put these items there. Elamai Kamashmon. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Hakamashmon Tahani Kaisel Kaisel. That these items, these materials are harmful to wall. Say to Rishonim that Rava will agree that if this is a place where a wall is not likely to be put up, even Rava will agree that I could put down the Gefer Zevel HaMelech, because there's nothing to be concerned. It's not a place where a wall will normally be put up. Although I did see that the Pnei Shleima asks a question on how could we understand this Gemara that way. The Pnei Shleima asks that just like we learned in the previous Gemara in understanding Rava's opinion. So Rava said that if it's a place where pits are not made, still I can't put my pit without distancing it, because my neighbor could say to me, just like you dug a pit in a place where pits are normally not dug, similarly I will make a pit in a place where a pit is normally not made. So ask the Pnei Shleima, how could the Rishonim say that if it's a place where the wall is normally not made, I could say that the wall is not likely to be put up here? Why can't my neighbor argue that, just like he argued by the pit, that I'm going to put up a wall here, even though it's a place that pits, walls are normally not pit? Answers the Pnei Shleima. The situation are not really identical. In the previous Gemara, Rav explained that my neighbor says to me, just like you made a pit in a place where pits are normally not made, I will make a pit in a place where pits are normally not dug. However, here we're referring to a situation where I'm putting down Zevel, Melech, these different materials, and you're going to put up a wall. It's not a pit to a pit, it's a wall to Zevel Melech and these other things, and therefore they're not identical and it's not the exact same situation. So Gemara again asks the question on Rava's opinion from the next case of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Toshma Machikim Sazroim Vesa Machrish Vesa Meiriglayim, one has to distance seeds or the plow or urine Menakos Shlosh Tvachim. Again, what is the Mishnah saying? Tamadik a kaisel, specifically because there's a wall standing. Halak a kaisel, if there was no wall standing, samach, I could put it near here without distancing, and I don't have to be concerned about the wall that will maybe eventually come. A question on Rava. Answer the Gemara loy. He let the Kaisel Namilay Samach. Even if there is no wall, I'm not allowed to put these things there. What is the Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah is teaching us how Kamashmon, the Misnusa Kashal Kaisel. Moisture is harmful to wall, and therefore these items that have moisture could cause damage. Toshma. So Gemara again tries to bring a raya from a later case in our Mishnah. It says, Esrechaim Gimel Men HaShechev, Shein Dal Men HaRechev. We have to distance the mill from the wall, 3 tefachim from the base of the mill, which is 4 tefachim from the actual mill. As we explained yesterday, the mill is 4 tefach, is a tefach, the base of the mill is a tefach wider than the actual mill. So again, it's only because there's an existing wall. Halakha Kaisel, were there no wall standing? Samach, I can put it nearby, I don't have to distance. So they're trying to make an interesting observation. In the previous cases of the Mishnah clearly said the word Kaisel. So therefore, the deal that our Gemara attempts to make, that there's only an issue to distance if the wall is standing, is very well understood. But in this case of the Mishnah doesn't speak about a wall standing. The Mishnah doesn't use the word Kaisel. So how is the Gemara asking a question in Rava? Because there's a wall. The Mishnah doesn't speak about a wall standing. Answer the Rishonim, that since in the previous cases of the Mishnah kept on mentioning that there is a wall, even though in this case the Mishnah doesn't speak about a wall standing, it will have... It's understood that the Mishnah here too is speaking about a case that there's a wall. Answer by Eloi. That's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rava will explain that the Mishnah is referring to a case, Kilek Kaisel Namile Samach. That if there's no wall, one can't put up a mill there either. Velokamai Kamashmon. What is the Mishnah teaching us? How Kamashmon? The Mishnah is trying to teach us that Triya, the vibrations caused by the mill, Kashla Kaisel, are harmful to the wall. Toshma from the last case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, as a tanner, shloisha min akalya, shein dalem min asofa. The furnace has to be distanced 3 tefachim from the base. That's the way Rashi explained the Mishnah, which are 4 tefachim from the actual furnace. Again, tamadika kaisel. They only have to be distanced because there's a wall standing. Halakha kaisel, if there is no wall, samach, one could put them nearby. Question on Rav who says that we always have to distance, says Merloi. Kileka Kaisel Namilay Samach. Even if there is no wall standing, one has to distance it. My Kamashmon, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Our Kamashmon, the Mishnah is teaching us the Havla Kashla Kaisel, heat is harmful to the wall, and therefore these things have to always be distanced according to Rav. Toshma, we're going to learn a Mishnah on Daf Chof. A person may not open a store, a bakery, or a dye shop below the storeroom of somebody else, because the smoke produced by the bakery or the dye shop are damaging to the grain that's kept upstairs. Veloy Refus Bucker, somebody's now will make a cattle barn under the storeroom of somebody else. Again, the Mishnah is teaching us, Tamadeka Oitzer. It's only because there's already a storeroom in the upper story, that's why I can't make these items. Halek Oitzer, if there is no storeroom, Ovid, I can open these items in the lower story, even though, according to Rav, it should be Osir, because it could cause potentially some damage. Answers the Gemara, Dirashani. Here we're referring to a situation where a person lives there. And because a person lives there, as Rashi and many Rishonim explain, it's my apartment, and one is allowed to operate a business in his apartment. And therefore, the halacha does not permit one to operate a business in his house, if the nizik, if the one that's going to get damaged, is not yet present. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rimagash explains the Gemara, Dira Shana, Shani, as referring to the upstairs Dira, to the Oitzer. And he says that the Gemara means to say that it's unusual for one to convert his house into an Oitzer, and therefore the Mishnah is not kasha on Rava. Rava agrees that the bakery owner doesn't have to worry that the possibility that he'll cause damage to his upstairs neighbor's potential oitzer, because it's unlikely, says the Gemara, according to Rimi Gash, that his neighbor will ever convert his home into an oitzer. Deka neighbor, Nami, and we could bring a raya that this is pshat, that there's a difference by Adira, the Tani law, because the Braisa, in explaining that Mishnah, says, Im Hoyser Refes Koydemus Leitzer, if the cattle barn was there before the storeroom, then Mutter, the person is allowed to maintain the barn, because since it was only taught regarding a cattle barn, only in this case, and not in other cases listed in our Mishnah, must be that a person, because they were talking about a cattle barn, but everything else, when we're talking about a dira is treated differently. Continues the Gemara, Toshma. The Mishnah says, later in our Perek, Layita Adam Ila Samach Lasada. A person is not a plant a tree next to the field of his neighbor. Elm Kein Hechuk Mena Dalar Amis. Unless he distances 4 amis from his neighbor's field. V'tanayaloh. And a braisa in explaining the Mishnah said, Dalar Amish Amru, when Chazal speak about Dalar Amis, could they avoid the Sakaran? They're referring to a situation that you need place to work on your field without being on your neighbor's property. So what do we see? Asked the Gemara. Tama, the entire concern is Mishum Avodas HaKerem, that I should be able to work on my tree and not step on your property. Halab Mishum Avodas HaKerem, if we didn't have that situation, Samach, I could put the tree next to the boundary. But why? Afgav the Ikisharshim the Mkamaski, won't there be roots that will eventually grow from my tree and cause damage? It must be because there is no pit yet in my neighbor's property, and therefore when I put down my tree, I don't have to worry about the damage that my roots will do to his field. So it's not like Rava. Rava held that we have to worry about ultimate damage even when it's not there. Answers the Gemara. Hachimai skinen, the mafsuk tsunma. The reason we don't have to worry about my roots going into my neighbor's field in this case is because we're referring to a situation where there's a rock below the surface of the ground, and since there's a rock below the surface of the ground, that will anyway separate the two fields, and my roots cannot penetrate and go into your field. The rock serves as a barrier. And says the Gemara, we could prove that that's the way to understand the Mishnah, because the Mishnah continues saying, "Hoy geder ben atayim," if there's a fence between the two fields, so there's no concern that I will move on to your property when I plow my field, because there's a root, there's a fence separating our fields. So I could put my trees up to the fence, and my neighbor could put his trees right up to the fence. Now, if we're concerned about the roots going into each other's fields, so why does the fence help? It must be that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the roots are not an issue of concern, because there's a rock below the surface of the ground that prevents the roots from going from one property into the next. Ihochi asked the Gemara, if we're explaining that Mishnah refers to a situation of tsunuma, that there's a rock separating the two fields, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hayish Rosh of Yoitza B'tar Shal Chaveroi, if my roots go into my neighbor's property, Mamek Lehem Shlosh Tfachim, the neighbor could cut off the roots up to a depth of 3 tefachim, that if the roots are up to 3 tefachim close to the surface of his property, he could cut those roots, kedei shlo yakev hamachrisha, in order that my roots should not block his plow from being able to plow. Ask the Gemara, if we explain that that Mishnah is referring to a situation, the mafsik tsunma, that there's a rock blocking in preventing my roots from going into my neighbor's property? Ma bahasam. How could the Mishnah speak about a situation that my roots will go into his field? And what can my neighbor do with my roots? How did they ever get there? There's a rock preventing them from getting there. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Kama. This is the way to understand the next part of the Mishnah. V'lav tzunma. If there is no rock blocking my roots from going into my neighbor's field, and therefore I planted a tree, v'yishrosh of yoytzen l'tar shel chaveroi, and the roots of my tree enter my neighbor's property, the halacha is that my neighbor, ma'am m'kshlosh tvachim, may cut the roots up to three tvachim, all the roots that are up to three tvachim, up to the surface of the ground, kadesh lo yakav ha-machrisha, that my roots shouldn't prevent my neighbor's plow from being able to work. As Taisus, if we're referring to a situation that there is no rack and my tree is causing damage, why can't my neighbor just cut down the entire tree? Why can't he just cut down the roots? So I saw there are a number of terutzim in giving by the Rishonim. One terutz is that there's a difference in halacha between if my neighbor cuts down the tree versus if my neighbor cuts the roots. If my neighbor cuts the roots, if my neighbor cuts the roots, he doesn't have to reimburse me. Whereas if he cuts the tree, he's going to have to reimburse me for the tree. That's one teretz. The Ramban explains that what happened here was that there was originally a rock, and then the rock was taken away. And therefore, the tree, when it was planted beheter, because there was a rock. And therefore, my neighbor cannot touch that tree. The roots, however, that go into my neighbor's property, even though the tree was planted permissibly, the roots that my neighbor will be allowed to take off cut the roots that prevent him from plowing. Toshma. The Mishnah says later in our parak, this is a Mishnah that we've referred to many times, which is a fundamental issue and discussion of our parak. The Mishnah says, Machikin Eseilon Minabor Esim Chamesh Amah. Somebody has to distance a tree from, I have to distance my tree from my neighbor's pit 25 Amah. So what do we see? Tama Dikabor. It's only if my neighbor has a pit. So there the halacha is that I have to distance my tree because it will cause damage as the roots of my tree enter my neighbor's field and will cause the bor to crumble. Halakabor, if there is no pit there yet, samach. But according to Rava, I can't put it up even beforehand. Answers the Gemara, loy. Kilekab nami bor loy samach. If there is no bar there, I can't either, according to Rava, explanation of the Mishnah, put a tree there. V'akumashman, what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah is teaching us the shir, that at chafei amma, as lishroshim umaskili bar. Up to 25 amas, my roots can do damage to the bar. It says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the way we're understanding that Mishnah, Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues saying, from Ilan Kadam, but if I first put up my tree, Lo Yokuts, then I don't have to cut down my tree. Ask the Gemara, if as Rava is explaining, one may never plant a tree in his field, next to somebody else's field, because there's a concern that my tree will damage a bar that may eventually be dug. So either like Samach, if I wasn't allowed to put up the tree in the first place, how will we ever have a situation that the Mishnah discusses that the Elon was there first? How could I have an Elon first if I'm not allowed to put up the Elon according to Rava under any circumstances? Answers the Gemara, could Amar Rapapa. As Rapapa explained, B'lekeach, hachanam b'lekeach. The way Rashi explains is as follows. I own a big piece of property. Since I own the entire piece of property, I could do on my property whatever I want. So I chose to put a tree up on my property. Then after I put up that tree, I sold a part of my property to my neighbor. Since I sold a part of my property to my neighbor, and now my neighbor is going to dig a pit on his part. But since when I put it up, I was allowed to put it up. When I put the tree up, the whole property was mine. Therefore, there is no concern that later on he puts a pit there that I'm doing anything wrong. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos, same concept, but he explains the Gemara just the opposite. Tosfos explains that what happened here was that I put a tree on my section, and my tree, and that's the part that I sold to my neighbor, the part with the tree. And therefore, I cannot demand on my neighbor to put down, to take down the tree, because since when I put up this tree, it was put up completely beheter, it was completely put up permissibly, therefore there is no issue that he has to take down the tree. Tashma. So Gemara tries to bring a proof from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Machikim as a Mishnah in a Yerek, somebody has to distance a pool where he soaks his linen from his neighbor's vegetable field, because in soaking linen, it gives off toxins that could ruin the vegetables. Vesecration, Menabetzolin, I have to distance leek from the onions, because the leek causes that they should take away the sharpness of the onions. Vesechadl Menadvoirim, and I have to keep mustard away from the bees, because what happens is the bees feed on the mustard plants, and since the mustard is sharp, it causes a sharp taste in the mouth of the bees, and then the bees go back and eat from their owner's honey and depletes the honey supply. Tama, but what do we see from this Mishnah? Deka Yerek. It's only because my neighbor already has here a vegetable patch do I have the obligation of distancing my linen from there. Halek Yerek, if he didn't have a vegetable patch there yet, Samach, I would be allowed to put the linen there. It's clearly a question on Rava's opinion, who Rava holds that even if it's not there yet, I have to distance. Answers the Gemara Loi. Kileka Yerek Nami, even if my neighbor doesn't yet have a vegetable patch, Loi Samach, I can't put my linen there. For our Kamashmon, what the Mishnah is teaching us is the Hani Kasha Adadi, the vegetable that the linen is not good for vegetables, leek is not good for onion, etc. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says there, Rav Yossi Mata Bechardel. Rav Yossi says that I could put something next to my friend's mustard plant. Rabbi Yossi says, I could put mustard next to my friend's property because the owner of the mustard plant can say to the owner of the bees, instead of you saying, take your mustard away from my bees, I could say to you, you should distance your bees from my mustard plants, because the bees eat up the flowers of the mustard plants. And as the Rishonim point out in understanding Rabbi Yossi's opinion, when it comes to two pits, Rabbi Yossi will agree that once a pit has been dug near the boundary between two properties, one may not dig a pit on the other side. Because a pit that has already been dug is not harmful. It's only, says Rabbi Yossi, according to his opinion, the digging of a pit that causes damage. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, one who digs a pit after one already dug a pit in the neighboring property cannot claim that he has no greater obligation than his neighbor. Because when his neighbor dug the pit, there was no pit on the other side. So my digging in a pit didn't cause you damage. Whereas when you're digging a pit, I already have a pit, and your digging of the pit causes damage to my pit. In the case, however, of the bees and the mustard plant, each constantly are doing damage to the other. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, each one could say to the other, your hazard is causing me damage now, and you don't have to remove it. So that's why I don't have to remove mine either. Again, as the Rishonim point out, this is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi says the only time we're concerned is in a situation of giri delay, when it causes direct damage. But if it doesn't cause direct damage, then Rabbi Yossi isn't concerned. The Rabbanan have an entirely different opinion. Now the Gemara makes its point how this Mishnah is difficult according to Rava's opinion. Now, ask the Gemara, Idalei Samach, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rava, that somebody's not going to cause a situation of damage, then Heichim Shkachla, how could we ever have a situation that somebody put his bees or his mustard next to the boundary? Since these are hazards, these are mazikim, Rabbi Yossi agrees. Rabbi says, everybody agrees that I can't create a situation where I'm going to cause damage to my neighbor. And yet, the Mishnah seems to say that one person clearly put this there first. Amra Papa, it's referring to situation b'lekeach. As we learned a moment ago, that somebody first put it within, he owned the entire piece of property. If I owned the entire piece of property, I could do on the entire piece of property whatever I want. And there, afterwards, I sold the piece of property, and it turns out that my mustard, my linen, whatever, are right next to my neighbor's boundary. Ask the Gemara, Iba Lekeach, if it's referring to such a situation that I planted it permissibly, my tam de rabbanon. Why did the rabbanon say that I have to remove it? When I put it down completely legally. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, void, my tam de Rabbi Yossi. I feel a mishnah v'yakinami. In the beginning of the Mishnah says that a linen pool or the leek can't be put there, next to the onion by the leek, next to the vegetables by the linen pool. But if we're explaining, asked the Gemara, that Mishnah is referring to a situation that I first owned the entire property, and since when I owned the entire property, I was completely allowed to do this, so why does Rabbi Yossi say that it has to be removed? I didn't do anything wrong when I put them down. Answers the Gemara, Amar Ravina, the Mishnah is teaching us, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, Kesavi Rabbanan, ala mazik lahachikas atzmai. The mazik has such an obligation to distance himself, even in a situation where it was put down legally. Therefore, even though I put it down, when I put down these various items, I did it completely beheter. The Gemara is teaching us that still, according to Rabbanan, is a concept of mazik lahachikas atzmai in every situation. Ask the Rishonim, we learned in Amud Aleph that if I planted a tree on my property legally, and then afterwards I sold part of the property, and it turns out that my tree is right next to my neighbor's property where the tree's roots could go into his property, the Mishnah says that we could keep the tree. But if the Rabbanan are now teaching us the concept of Avamazik Lahachikas Atzmai, and as we just explained, the Rabbanan are very strict with this concept, that we always have this obligation of Al Hamazik Lahachikas Atzmai, so why could I keep the tree? So there are many answers given by the Rishonim. One teretz is that a tree involves a significant loss to knock down a tree, and Chazal did not make us take that type of a hefset. Another pshat is that trees are essential for the world to have trees, and therefore Chazal were more lenient when it comes to speaking about a tree. Another pshat that I saw is that we're talking, our Mishnah is in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a concept of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and the concept of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael teaches us that we should keep up the trees and not remove them. Michlal continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Sover, by explaining that the Rabbanon hold al mazik lahachikas atzmai, it must be the Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that al nizik lahachikas atzmai, it's the obligation of the person who's getting damaged to remove the item. He al nizik. So if Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that al nizik lahachikas atzmai, why is the halacha, ask the Gemara, in the ratio of the Mishnah, where there is no argument from Rabbi Yossi, that I, who have the Mishnah in Yarka, have to remove it? Why do I have to remove it? I'm the one that's causing the damage, but Rabbi Yossi's opinion is obviously that the damaged individual has to remove his item. So therefore, if ask the Gemara, but I feel Mishnah v'Yarka nami, it shouldn't be my, the owner of the Mishnah v'Yarka's obligation to remove it, it should be the obligation of the vegetable patch owner, of the onion owner. Ella, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi nami ala mazik sfirlei. Rabbi Yossi will agree with the concept of ala mazik sfirlei. And that's why by Mishnah v'Yarka, I have to remove it. And the way to understand the Mishnah is hach kamalei Rabbi Yossi l'rabbonin. Tainach Mishnah v'Yarka, in the case of Mishnah v'Yarka, the hani maski hani, v'lani le maski hani, the linen damages the vegetables, the leek damages the onions, where the vegetables don't damage the linen, the onion doesn't damage the leek. Therefore, I agree that the person who's causing the damage is the person that has to make the distancing. However, says Rabbi Yossi, by Chadol V'dvorim, since Tavayi Maska Adodi, they both do damage to each other. Therefore, I say, since they're doing damage to each other, we leave it as it is. Rabbonin, how did Rabbonin respond to Rabbi Yossi? You're saying, say the Rabbonin to Rabbi Yossi, that the onion, that the mustard does damage. The mustard does damage to the bees, and the bees do damage to the mustard. I, however, say, Tvaram l'chardeliloi maski. The bees do not do damage to the mustard. Because Iba binsa, the actual mustard seeds, loy mishkechlei, the bees can't find the actual mustard seeds because they're completely covered. Iba tarfa, and as far as the leaves are concerned, the bees, even if the bees will eat the leaves of the mustard seed, hada pari, they grow back. And since they grow back, it's not considered a situation that they're doing damage. So it's only one way where the chardel does damage to the mustard, to the bees, but the bees don't do damage to the mustard. As the Rishonim, even the Gemara is saying that the bees don't do damage, real damage to the mustard, because they eat the leaves and the leaves grow back. But if the leaves grow back, they ate the leaves. And they're constantly going to be eating the leaves. If they're constantly going to be eating the leaves, there'll never be leaves left for the owner of the mustard seed. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, the concern that the bees will eat the leaves is only once. Once, because the leaves are really very sharp. And the bees will not make the mistake of eating them twice. So since they're not going to eat them twice, we don't have to worry that they're eating, that they're going to continue ruining the leaves. Another teretz that I saw is that the owner, knowing that there are bees in his next door field, will always be careful to immediately remove the leaves before the bees could get to them, and therefore they won't cause any damage. I saw from Yitzchak Zilberstein a question based on this Gemara. He says, our Gemara, when it speaks about the mustard and the bees, is very focused that the mustard in my property could cause damage to the bees in my neighbor's property. The bees in my neighbor's property could cause damage to the mustard in my property. But it seems that if there were no concern that something in my property could cause damage to something in somebody else's property, that in my property itself, I could do whatever I want. And therefore, the question that comes up, he asks, is, may one, for example, have a shed on his property that's very poorly constructed, where there's chas v'shalom a concern that children may come into my property, and eat and climb on that shed, and since that shed is so flimsy, they chas v'shalom may hurt themselves and fall. It's all on my property, and we're learning now that if it's left in my property and it doesn't do damage to my neighbor's property, it may be permitted. So he says it could well be based on our Gemara, it should be permitted. However, he quotes his brother-in-law Reb Chaim Kamievsky, who says that it's still usur. And the reason he says is because, as we learned, the Torah uses the words loisosim damim v'secha. A person is prohibited from having a dangerous thing in his property. And therefore, even though it's completely in my property, and I could perhaps argue, why are you coming to my property? Still, the halacha allows it to remain on my... The halacha says that I should not have anything dangerous on my property. Ask the Gemara. The way we're explaining our Mishnah is that Rabbi Yossi agrees with the opinion of the Rabbanon of our Mazik L'Hachakas Atzmai. He only draws a distinction between Chardel and Dvarim and Dvarim versus Mishra and Bitzalim. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed Rabbi Yossi's opinion? The Sof Rabbi Yossi ala Mazik L'Hachakas Atzmai, is Rabbi Yossi followed that opinion? But Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Mishnah we quoted earlier, about planting a tree in my field, where you have a pit in your field, and the Mishnah, the Rabbanan said that I have to keep the tree 25 amos away, because otherwise the roots will go and hurt and harm your bar. Rav Yossi Omer, no. Even if you already have a pit existing in your field, neighboring my field, I could put up a tree, and layokets, there's no problem. I'm making a tree in my field, you're making a pit in your field, and as long as everything is being done and properties that we own, there's no problem. But if, ask the Gemara, we're now saying that Rabbi Yossi agrees that I'm mazik l'hachakas atzmai, so how could I put a tree in my field when you have a pit in your field and my tree could cause damage to your pit when it's within 25 amos? Says the Gemara, we have to explain the Mishnah as follows. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is on the zikzvirle. It's always the damaged party's responsibility to watch out. And the way to understand the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi is addressing the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi speaking to Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi says, "L'didiyal nizik l'hachikas atzmai." It's always the nizik who has to watch out, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, I could put mishra in my field, I could put bitzalim in my field, and no problem. You're worried about it? Move yourself, and therefore, v'afilu mishra yakal bayruchik. Eladchu. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbanan that you are of the opinion ala mazik l'hachikas atzmai, so tenik mishra v'yaka. I could understand what you said regarding the linen pool and the leak. The hani maski hani, the hani lo maski hani, and therefore the owner of the pool, the owner of the leak, has to distance himself. El chad devarim, says Rabbi Yossi to Rabbanan, tevayim maski hadadi. They do damage to each other, and therefore, as the Gemara said at the bottom of Amun Aleph, Rabbi Yossi said the Rabbanan should agree, both of us, I can put my chadl and you can put your dvarim, because we're both equal in damaging or not damaging each other. Rabbanan and Rabbanan say, as we learned a month ago, no, dvarim l'chadloy l'maskelay. The dvarim, the bees don't do any damage to the mustard. It's only mustard that does damage to the bees. Because Iba bin so, if it go as far as the mustard seed, l'mishkachslay, the bees can't find them because they're covered. And ibatafa, regarding the leaf, hadapari, they grow back, and since they grow back, there's nothing, the damage isn't the real damage that the bees do to the leaf, but it is, the mustard does do damage to the bees, because they get that taste in their mouth, that they then go and eat the honey, and ruin, and take away from the honey of the honeycomb owner's honey.